Well, good morning, everyone. It's lovely to be together, and Andrew's going to help me lead the service this morning on the fourth Sunday of Epiphany. Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ be with you, and also with you. O Lord, open our lips, and our mouths shall proclaim your praise. God, you call us to walk with you in justice, in kindness, in humility. Help us to see this is what you require, to leave behind all other expectations and be free to walk into the future you want for us as the people of God. Amen. The night has passed and the day lies open before us. Let us pray with one heart and mind. As we rejoice in the gift of this new day, so may the light of your presence, O God, set our hearts on fire with love for you, now and forever. Amen. God of justice, we are sorry for the times when we have fallen short of the hopes you have for us and the standards you require. Strengthen and renew us. When pursuing justice seems too demanding, inspire us afresh. When kindness takes too much time and energy, touch and warm our hearts. When humility is not our first approach, help us to walk more closely with you. We ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen. God of nurture and new beginnings, your forgiveness surrounds us with hope. Your grace enables us to aspire to your requirements. Your acceptance empowers us to serve kindly. And your love requires only that we accept it with gratitude, joy, and humility. Amen. And Andrew has our first reading for us.
The reading is from the prophet Micah, chapter 6, beginning at the first verse. Listen to what the Lord says. Stand up, plead my case before the mountains. Let the hills hear what you have to say. Hear, you mountains, the Lord's accusation. Listen, you everlasting foundations of the earth, for the Lord has a case against his people. He is lodging a charge against Israel. My people, what have I done to you? How have I burdened you? Answer me. I brought you up out of Egypt and redeemed you from the land of slavery. I sent Moses to lead you, and also Aaron and Miriam. My people, remember what Balak, king of Moab, plotted and what Balaam, son of Beor, answered. Remember your journey from Shittim to Gilgal, that you may know the righteous acts of the Lord. With what shall I come before the Lord and bow down before the exalted God? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams and with 10,000 rivers of olive oil? Shall I offer my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body, for the sin of my soul? He has shown you, O mortal, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? To act justly, and to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
And our psalm this morning is Psalm 15. Please do join me with the words in bold. Lord, who may dwell in your sacred tent? Who may live on your holy mountain? The one whose walk is blameless, who does what is righteous, who speaks the truth from their heart, whose tongue utters no slander, who does no wrong to a neighbour, and casts no slur on others. Who despises a vile person, but honor those who fear the Lord, who keeps an oath even when it hurts and does not change their mind, who lends money to the poor without interest, who does not accept a bribe against the innocent. Whoever does these things will never be shaken. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and shall be forever. Amen.
Our second reading is from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 5, beginning at the first verse. Now, when Jesus saw the crowds, he went up on a mountainside and sat down. His disciples came to him, and he began to teach them. He said, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Our Old Testament reading this week is from the prophet Micah. Micah prophesied during the second half of the 8th century before Common Era in Judah. Micah speaks into a context where there is no shortage of religious people. In fact, Micah describes widespread fervent religious practices where people, especially religious leaders, are making a public show of just how religious they really are. "Listen, you leaders of Israel," says Micah. "You are supposed to know right from wrong, but you are the very ones who hate good and love evil. You skin my people alive and tear the flesh from their bones." You see, business as usual religion has kept religious leaders self-satisfied and the powerful in power. For a messenger of God like Micah to enter this scene and proclaim judgment against the faithful, it must have been quite a shock. In the opening verses of chapter 6, our reading this morning, God lodges a legal case against his chosen people, Israel, calling upon all of creation to act as the jury. The mountains and the foundations of the earth will hear God's charges and Israel's pleas. This is no petty squabble. It has a cosmic framework. This week, I was reading about someone's enthusiasm for Precambrian rocks. I can't say I have ever given them much thought before, but reading about their enthusiasm and passion for them made me feel quite passionate about them too. Precambrian granite, for example, is a honey-coloured rock with green and deep bronze marbling. It tumbles across hillsides and rises up out of the earth in huge formations. Geologists calculate that this rock is at least 4 billion years old. In this country, Precambrian rock can be found in places like the Malvern Hills. Precambrian rocks contain a record of the Earth's formation from childhood, youth, and most of its adulthood, an almost inconceivable 8/9 of the Earth's total age. The stretches of geologic time that rocks reveal to us are frequently described as unfathomable. A fathom in Old English was a measure of outstretched arms. Unfathomable essentially means unmeasurable. When the prophet Micah makes his appeal to the mountains, he addresses these ancient things and asks for their witness to things much smaller, younger, and more momentary than they are. He calls out to the enduring foundations of the earth to hear God's case against God's people. This is what he says in verse 2. And now, O mountains, listen to the Lord's complaint. He has a case against his people. He will bring charges against Israel. In the Hebrew tradition, the world is built on loving kindness. In ancient Jewish ethical and theological teachings, loving kindness is called one of the three pillars on which the world stands. The study of the Torah and service to others are the other two. The Torah mentions chesed, the Hebrew word which is very roughly translated as loving kindness, 245 times. Loving kindness endures forever. Loving kindness, Jeremiah tells us, is what God does. But those who wish to boast should boast in this alone, that they truly know me and understand that I am the Lord who demonstrates unfailing love and loving kindness, and who brings justice and righteousness to the earth, and that I delight in these things. I, the Lord, have spoken. God built the earth with loving kindness, and God sustains the earth through loving kindness. Loving kindness, we might say, is unfathomable. We are told that God has a complaint, a case against his people. But when we read this chapter, we don't get a list of the things that they have done wrong. Earlier in chapter 3, Micah lays out a host of sins, and later verses in chapter 6 supply specifics. Your wealthy are full of violence, your inhabitants speak lies. But we do hear in this chapter God's sorrowful cry, O my people, O my people, God says, as God tries to understand what has gone wrong. As God reflects on his relationship with human beings so far, he highlights their attitudes and inaction in sharp contrast to his own faithfulness. In these verses, we get a potted history of salvation, where God names the saving acts of the Lord in verses 4 and 5. God has delivered his people from slavery in Egypt. God has given them leaders like Moses, Aaron, and Miriam. God has blessed them through the foreign priest Balaam, even against his own king's wishes, and brought his people into the promised land. Each of these acts is a full story in its own right, and each story reveals God's faithfulness and the chronic unfaithfulness of the people. These two brief verses serve to remind the people who God is. This is the God who hears the cries of the people and brings them out of slavery. This is the God who will use even the outsider to bring blessings. This is the God who shows compassion and mercy when people fail. Even the people's idolatry and injustice cannot prevent God from acting. This is the God who is faithful no matter what. The entire creation stands witness to this God made visible in these acts of salvation. These verses reminded me how important it is to recount our own stories of faith. We are to tell them to one another. We are to speak them out loud. We are to tell them over and over again to our children and our grandchildren. But do we? Or are we silent? Do we have anything to say? Do we truly know our God? Are we ready to give an account of his loving kindness and faithfulness to us? Following that introduction, the people reply in verses 6 and 7, and they ask a question. What can we bring to the Lord? Well, this is tantamount to an admission of guilt. Notice that there is no attempt to counter God's claim, and no evidence is offered to defend themselves from God's accusations. The people quickly revert to familiar formula, sacrificial offerings to make up for their transgressions. This response only reinforces the pattern of showy religiosity that Micah has already condemned, especially from leaders who look to their own interests. Micah would expect such false leaders to turn first to conspicuous acts of sacrifice, as though the problem is appeasing God rather than changing their own behavior. Micah makes it clear that there will be no more business as usual in the religion department without a change of heart and life. The go-to response is to appease God through a form of scorekeeping that tries to put a price tag on God's mercy. What payment will it take to get God off our backs? Burnt offerings, thousands of rams, my firstborn. How can we even keep a scoreboard? But Micah isn't buying it. Micah contrasts this knee-jerk scorekeeping to the path God has already given. Oh no, people, the Lord has told you what is right. The entire Torah, the law, has already given God's people the path of life. Moreover, Micah stands in a line of prophets who have reminded the people over and over and over again of this path. Micah offers a summary of what God requires, and at once it is much more simple and much more difficult than keeping ritual practices. This is what the Lord requires of you: to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with your God. To enact justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with God are not single acts that can be checked off the list and left behind. On an individual and social scale, in ways large and small, this is a way of life. Periodic nods to justice and mercy every now and then do not constitute a faithful life, Micah tells us. We cannot only keep a check in check our unconscious bias when we are in public. We cannot send money for disaster relief and avoid examining the lifestyles that contribute, at least in part, to some natural disasters. We cannot claim to defend the starving and refuse to change our consumerist lifestyles. We cannot confess with our lips on Sunday morning and hold grudges on a Monday. Rather than offer God thousands of rams, Micah calls us to offer 1,000 daily acts of love for each other and the world God loves. Walking humbly with God means knowing our inclination to self-righteousness. We cannot play church or frame our religious life as a game where we keep God in a box by performing prescribed duties. The life of faith is indeed a walk that reorientates our hearts and our lives. If I'm honest, I find this passage extremely challenging. In fact, verse 8 is often known as the Micah challenge. So let us take up the challenge as we walk humbly and reverently with one another and with our God. Amen. And Andrew's going to lead us in our prayers.
Shall we pray together? Loving God, make us a channel of your justice and mercy. Gracious God, thank you that you call us to walk with you, living lives that reflect your justice and mercy in all we do and say. Trusting in your promise to hear us, we bring our prayers to you now. Loving God, make us a channel of your justice and mercy. Lord, as we read and listen to the news, we wonder at all the accounts of greed and abuse of power, intolerance and lack of compassion, violence and war. Concepts so alien to the way you have taught us, and yet at times even being carried out in the name of religion. We pray for those living in fear. Fear for their freedom, fear for their well-being, fear for their safety and even their lives. And we pray for those in a position of power or leadership, that their hearts may be filled with compassion, cooperation, and wisdom. Loving God, make us a channel of your justice and mercy. We bring our prayers for those parts of your creation and your world that are under threat as greed, selfishness, and ignorance have led us to disregard well-being of the environment. We ask your blessing on those who campaign and raise awareness of the climate emergency, for those who strive to find a better way. And we pray for wisdom and determination for those who have the money, influence, and authority to make a difference. Loving God, make us a channel of your justice and mercy. We pray for your church across the world. We pray for the people of faith in all countries who take a stand for justice and mercy, understanding, and right living, as you call each one of us to do. We pray for a spirit of cooperation between different denominations and different faiths striving to do your will. We pray for our church family in this community. Strengthen and encourage us as we follow your call individually and together. Let us not become despondent or discouraged. Rather, fill us with your spirit of hope and peace. Loving God, make us a channel of your justice and mercy. We pray for those in our community who are in need. We pray for newcomers, that they will find a warm welcome and not judgment or hostility. We pray for the lonely and isolated, that they will find company and support. We pray for healing and comfort for those who are sick in mind or body or spirit, and for those that love them. And we pray especially this morning for Steph, Jack, Mary, Derek, Anne, Brenda, Roy, Margaret T, Elizabeth, Joy, Tony, Herbert, Brian, Alison, Margaret R, Nigel, Audrey, and Sharon. We pray for Rackenford School, Tiverton High School, and the Tiverton Hospital. And we remember the family and friends of those who have recently died. Eunice Oakes, Rosemary Dart, Elaine Carter. As we remember those who were affected by poverty, unemployment, homelessness, and the rising cost of living, may they find the support and security they need. Loving God, make us a channel of your justice and mercy. Finally, Lord, we bring before you our own needs and the needs of those we love, naming them now before you in a moment of silence. Loving God, make us a channel of your justice and mercy. Amen. And the collect for the fourth Sunday of Epiphany. God, our Creator, who in the beginning commanded the light to shine out of darkness, we pray that the light of the glorious gospel of Christ may dispel the darkness and ignorance and unbelief, shine into the hearts of all your people, and reveal the knowledge of your glory in the face of Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who is alive and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Amen. As our Saviour taught us, so we pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give
Give
us
us today
today our
our
daily
daily bread.
bread. Forgive
Forgive
us
us
our
our sins,
sins as we forgive
forgive
those
those
who
who
sin
sin
against
against us.
us.
Lead
Lead
us
us not
not
into
into
temptation,
temptation,
but
but
deliver
deliver
us
us
from
from
evil.
evil.
For the
The kingdom,
kingdom, the
the power,
power,
and
and
the
the
glory
glory
are
are
yours.
yours now and forever.
Amen.
Amen.
The love of the Lord Jesus draw us to himself. The power of the Lord Jesus strengthen us in his service. And the joy of the Lord Jesus fill our hearts. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be among us and remain with us and those whom we love and pray for today and always. Amen. O God, what do you require of us? Do you require us to be the best and do the most? No. Do you require us to turn our hearts to you and live with justice, kindness, and humility? Yes. Give us what we need to adopt the beautiful attitudes you want for your people. Amen. Thank you, everybody. Thank you, Andrew. Thank you for joining me this morning. Just a reminder that we will turn again to prayer on Wednesday. I don't know how
Yes.
you got on last Wednesday. I had various alarms on my phone and I couldn't, for the life of me, think why they were ringing to start with. What have I forgotten? Then I remembered. Anyway, there's lots to pray for, isn't there, in the world? Yeah, there really is.
Absolutely. I find it comforting personally.
Yeah, safe
Yeah.
travels to those of you who are traveling.
Thank
Liz,
you. Thank
Andrew
you.
and Sue, Helen, not yet, but almost. And see you again next weekend.
Thank you
Lots of
so
love.
much. Thank you very
Lots of
much,
love.
everybody.
God
Thank you,
bless.
Anna. Thank you, Andrew. Good
Bye
morning.
bye.
Bye.
Bye
Bye.
bye.
Come back. Goodbye.
Bye.
Thank you.